Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discoveries, coming to you live simulcast from the heart of America to around the globe via the World Wide Web, terrestrial radio, satellite, and podcast. Let's journey together into the realms of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. All right. Welcome, every one of you, to the show. It's going to be an eye-opener. We're with Nick Pope is our guest. He's the man who left Maud. You know, a special thanks right now to Journeys with Rebecca Radio Network, all of the great affiliates. Please check them out and more at my website, journeyswithrebecca.com. And, of course, once you're at the website, you can check out all the latest news and the archives. Now, while you're at the website, please sign up for the free and totally confidential Journeys with Rebecca newsletter. It's going to keep you informed of changes and guests that you will hear. All right, let's talk about Nick Pope. Used to run the British government's UFO project at the Ministry of Defense. Initially skeptical, his research and investigation into the UFO phenomena and access to formerly classified government files on the subject soon convinced him that the phenomenon raised important defense and national security issues, especially when the witnesses were military pilots or where UFOs were tracked on radar. Stay with us for more of Nick Pope.
Journeys with Rebecca is sponsored by Fate Magazine, providing true accounts of the strange and unknown for over 58 years. To receive your free copy of Fate Magazine, call 800-728-2730 or log on to fatemag.com.
Prepare yourself for a journey of discovery and the answers that you've been looking for. With the Universal Learning Series, a set of principles for discovering your true self. Explore your past, your present, and your future. Read Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series by author Sandy Andrew. Go to universallearningseries.com.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
All right, and welcome back. And as I told you earlier, our guest today is Nick Pope. Now, he's the man who left the Maud. And we're going to be talking about the DVD, The UFO Phenomenon Unveiled, as well as talking to Nick a little bit, too, about some of the other books that he's written. But right now, let's welcome to the show. Hi, Nick. How are you today?
Well, I'm very well, thank you.
This is just so cool to have you here. I cannot tell you how cool that is.
Well, no, it's great to be on the show.
Well, you know, I did look at, did get to view your DVD, the DVD that was put out about the UFO phenomenon unveiled. And I'm going to tell you that was quite enticing, enchanting. It was all of that. So let's talk, first of all, so that people know, what does MOD, M-O-D, stand for?
MOD is Ministry of Defense. So it's the part of the British government, which is really the equivalent, for example, of the American DOD.
Okay. So you used to actually work for that, right? And I guess you've been kind of coined as the Fox Mulder of Great Britain due to your special position there. You actually ended up becoming the chief UFO investigator. Now, how does one become that?
Well, it's a bizarre story. I joined the Ministry of Defense back in 1985, and I only left last year after a 21-year career there, which I very much enjoyed. And in the course of those 21 years, I did all sorts of different jobs at various different ranks. But the job for which I suppose I'm best known is one that I did from 1991 through to 1994. And that, yes, as you say, was when I was heading up the British government's UFO project, which is essentially just an equivalent of the old Project Blue Book that the United States Air Force used to have.
Okay.
My job was simply to research and investigate UFOs to see if there was evidence of any threat to the defence of the UK, or indeed anything else of any defence interest.
Uh-huh. And that's kind of interesting that you brought up Project Blue Book, because most of the Americans that are out here listening to that show today, it's kind of like an almost an everyday phrase. Project Blue Book, most people do know what that is. So that's very helpful for, you know, that phrase to understand what it is that, you know, you used to do and what you used to be a part of. So I would imagine with, and again, I watched the DVD, and it was kind of amazing how you just kind of, in a sense, kind of just fell into that position of becoming the chief UFO investigator, based on the information you shared there, was that you were probably one of the biggest skeptics there were about UFOs. Do you think that's probably why they chose you originally?
It could be, yes. I do suspect that they would avoid somebody who had an interest or a belief in the subject. My position, yeah, was that I knew nothing about this, other than, I suppose, what anyone else would know if you stopped them in the street. I had no interest. I had no belief. I was simply offered this job as one of a number of different postings that I had in the course of my 21-year career. So it was just, okay, you've done that job. Time for a new job. How would you like to run the UFO project? It really was as simple as that. I had been working in the Joint Operations Centre during the first Gulf War, and the person that I was most closely working to had a vacancy coming up. He said, look, I know that you're looking for a move, that you're due for a move. I'm going to have a vacancy. This is what the job is. Are you interested? So I said, yeah, absolutely. I'll give it a go.
That's just fascinating how you just fell into that. I mean, you know, and my belief, honestly, from who I am, Nick, is that nothing happens by coincidence. There's always a reason, and obviously you must have had your eyes opened quite a bit to really what that project, number one, was all about, or the job was all about, and number two, about the vast enormity of the whole topic here on UFOs and crafts and coming from all parts of the sector of the public, which is, you know, police officers, individual people, private citizens, and as well as obviously military people. So that's just fascinating.
Yes, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. This job changed my life. It opened my eyes and it opened my mind to, I think, things that I hadn't previously thought about. And indeed, after my 3 years on the UFO project, I was so fascinated by what I had discovered that I felt that I simply couldn't turn my back on this subject and walk away from it. So I continued my interest in a private capacity, which is something that I do to this day. And that's why I decided to write books on the subject, why I decided to get involved in making television programs, writing about the subject in national newspapers and such like. And yes, it was two things, I suppose, changed my mind in a general sense. Firstly, was looking back into the archives of some of the amazing cases that had taken place in previous years. And the MOD's UFO project goes back to 1950. We've had over 10,000 sightings, so there are hundreds upon hundreds of files, thousands of documents. That was the first thing. The second thing was, and I think you touched on it yourself, it was the sort of situation where you have UFOs seen by trained observers such as police officers, pilots, military personnel, where you've got UFOs tracked on radar, where you've got films, photographs and things which can be technically analysed by MOD specialists, and where we found no evidence of any faking. So those were the sorts of things, apart from some specific cases, which I'm sure we'll get onto in a bit.
Well, and then I just, you know, the, like I said, the enormity of it just blows my mind. But just to clarify a couple of things, you're actually the only one, at least were the only one, I don't know if there's anyone that's followed you, that's an official UFO investigator to ever go on record from the British government. Is that true?
There's one person, one of my predecessors, although not actually doing the research and investigation, actually in a sense somebody even more important because he was at a senior level, a more senior level than I was as the desk officer. But there was a man called Ralph Noyce, who in fact headed the division where I worked. Not at the same time.
Right.
This was some years before I was posted. But Ralph Noyce was the head of the division in which the UFO project was embedded. And he did speak out on this. And he did feel, as I do, that, look, we don't know what the subject really is. We don't know what UFOs are. There are all sorts of theories. But he felt there was more to it than just misidentifications and hoaxes. And he, after he retired from the MOD, became quite involved in UFO research. He also became quite interested in crop circles. He was the honorary secretary, I believe, of the Center for Crop Circle Studies. He also was very interested in psychic issues and was involved with the very prestigious UK organization, the SPR, the Society for Psychical Research. So there is, yes, at least one of my predecessors did go on the record, or rather one other person involved in the UFO project. But yeah, it's quite unusual. I think for the most part, most of the people that have been involved either haven't been as interested as Ralph and I were, or they have felt for whatever reason that they didn't want to speak out or go public.
Yeah, that could have its own repercussions right there. So, first of all, I commend you for bringing this information forward, and specifically, I know my audience is just loving all of this. I know they are.
Well, thanks. I should clarify, by the way, I'm not in any sense a whistleblower. And while there might be some people in the MOD who would rather that I hadn't written my books and rather that I hadn't spoken out on this issue, all my books have been vetted by the appropriate authorities.
Sure.
Just in the same way as anyone, for example, who's been in the CIA and decides to write their memoirs.
Right.
Or a politician who's signed a secrecy oath and things, or a senior military officer.
Right.
Of course, there are books by politicians and military officers all the time, and I'm one of the people that has played absolutely by the rules. So I'm not a whistleblower.
Right,
that's
right.
Not to say that everyone agrees with me, of course. But
well,
I didn't want
fine.
To portray myself as one of these, somewhat, controversial characters.
Correct.
Who's almost like on the run and breaking the law. That's not what I'm about.
No. But I think what's really interesting is the fact, just like we started this conversation, is that most of this stuff the public doesn't even know about. These are things that you all would gather, or the United States or Russia or China or anybody else who has something like this in place. And they would gather this information, but the general public does not have knowledge of it, does not
That's
have the
correct.
Knowing
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
So I know that in the DVD you discuss many, many things, and we're going to get into that here in just a second as far as some of the stories that you can tell us. But you in the DVD, you do talk about the Russians and the black technology, and I know that people out there are pretty interested in that. And then the one on the forest, and I'm not sure how to pronounce that again, Rendlesham?
Rendlesham Forest.
Rendlesham
yes,
Forest.
Best-known UFO case.
Right. And then you talk a lot about quantum physics and the psychology of it, and then, of course, the government reports and sightings by insiders. I guess the only question that I would have that didn't get answered for me, and it might be in some of your other books, because unfortunately I'm not aware of all of your other books, and we will talk about that as well. Is there anything to do that you're able to say? Is there anything that that they have ever found where there's been contact made in any of the dealings that you've had in the capacity of your job?
No, I'm not aware of that at all. People often ask me, is there a sort of smoking gun somewhere? Does the British government have absolute cast-iron evidence that some UFOs are extraterrestrial? Do we have wreckage? Do we have bodies? Has contact been made? My answer is no, or if it has been, I wasn't briefed on it.
Okay.
I would be surprised because, as the person running the UFO project, I believe that I, of course, would have had the need to know. But you can't prove a negative, and some conspiracy theories say, well, maybe there was some secret department doing the same thing as you, but behind your back.
Anything's possible, right?
It's possible, yes. But I think some people have said, well, maybe you just got the public cases, and somebody else got the good cases. My answer is no. I got public cases, I got police cases, I got military cases, I got civil airline pilot cases. I got pretty much everything.
Right.
So I'm not, I don't believe that there's a smoking gun, certainly not in the UK. Of course, I can't really speak for the position in other countries. And
right.
Of course, there are many people that believe that it's the American government that's perhaps the sole guardian of this ultimate secret. And if so, I guess they haven't told us. So maybe the special relationship doesn't quite extend that far.
There you go.
I don't know. That's the honest answer. I don't know.
Well, and that makes total sense. Well, why don't you talk a little bit then? Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that case, the Rendlesham Forest case? Interestingly enough, there's just so much information out there. It's hard for a person that's not just a UFO buff to keep up with all this. And I'm not a UFO buff, so I'm very much interested in it, but I don't keep up, and I think it would be very helpful for the audience.
Okay. Well, I'll do that. And the other thing I'll say is a lot of the very interesting UFO cases and some of the policy documents have actually been released under the Freedom of Information Act, and maybe we'll get into that later as well.
Okay.
But just let me give you a website, and it's basically it's the Ministry of Defence website, so it's just mod.uk, and if you go onto that website and put terms like UFO into the search field, you and all the listeners will be able to see a vast number of UFO documents. And indeed, the case file on the Rendlesham incident, which I'm about to discuss.
Okay.
If it doesn't come up, you can just type in Rendlesham as well, which is R-E-N-D-L-E-S-H-A-M. But this was Britain's best-known UFO case. It occurred over a series of nights in December 1980, and it involved military personnel at the twin bases Bentwaters and Woodbridge, in the county of Suffolk. Now, these were Air Force bases leased to the United States Air Force, and the bases were very close together. Essentially, they were under one command, and Rendlesham Forest lies between the two of them. Now, on the first night, some of the military personnel there saw strange lights in the forest, and they thought that one of the military aircraft had come down short of the runway and crashed. So they sought and obtained permission to go and investigate. Didn't see a crashed aircraft. They found a UFO, which at one point actually landed in a small clearing. They said that this craft was fairly small, sort of triangular-shaped, like a lunar landing module, that sort of thing, metallic, and on legs, on some sort of tripod device, perhaps. They took some photos, which they were later told didn't come out because the light was just so bright from this thing. They were told the film was fogged. But they made some sketches as well, including right down to the level of detail of strange symbols seen on the side, which were likened to hieroglyphs, Egyptian hieroglyphs.
Okay.
So this is not like some UFO sightings. This isn't vague lights in the sky. This is a landed metallic
craft
with symbols on it.
Okay. Now, Nick, here's what I want you to do is let's hold that thought because we are out of time in this segment. What we'll do is we'll come back and we'll pick that up because we'd like to delve into that even at a more of a level here. So you guys stay with us. We're going to be right back with Nick Pope and more Journeys. So don't go away.
Fate Magazine, providing true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730, or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Be sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for staying with us. And for those of you who just tuned in, we're here talking today with Nick Pope, the man who left MOD, the UFO phenomena unveiled. And in our first segment, we had to cut him off right in the middle of the most fantastic story taking place in the Rendlesham Forest. So, Nick, I'm going to pick it up and let you kind of go with it and finish sharing that story. That was just fascinating. I can't wait.
Okay, well, essentially, the story is that the military personnel who saw this landed metallic UFO on the first night photographed it, although those photos, as I say, didn't come out, sketched it. One of them got close enough to touch the side of this craft, said it was very odd to the touch, like nothing he'd felt before.
So he actually touched it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
So this really, in terms of getting up close and personal, it really doesn't get better than this.
No, seriously.
Then the UFO essentially just flew off. The military personnel went back, and their bosses said, well, you need to write all this up. And the official United States Air Force witness statements were taken, and those are available under the Freedom of Information Act. They've been released into the public domain, as indeed has the MOD case file on the whole incident, which is on the MOD's website, mod.uk. But it gets even better, because a couple of other things happened. Firstly, they went to the landing site afterwards with Geiger counter, and they took some radiation readings. And the Ministry of Defense's scientific and technical specialists in the Defense Intelligence Staff assessed those radiation readings as, while not posing a danger to the people, but said that they were nonetheless significantly higher than the background levels. So that was the first a very interesting piece of evidence. The second is, in a sense, even more bizarre. The deputy base commander, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Holt, got to hear about this, and he was pretty skeptical, but he was the one who instructed that the witness statements be written up. The following night, he was at a social event, and suddenly the doors burst open, and a nervous young airman rushed up to him and saluted and said, "Sir, it's back." And Colonel Holt said, "What? What are you talking about? What's back?" And the airman said, "The UFO, sir. The UFO has come back." So Colonel Holt, threw together a small team of men and went out into the forest to investigate. And I've spoken to him about this, and he's on the public record. He said he was completely skeptical, and in his own words, he went out to debunk this UFO nonsense. Well, he couldn't debunk it because he ended up seeing the UFO himself. At one point, it was directly overhead, firing light beams down at the clearing where he and his men were. And at the end of his encounter, it was over one of the bases at Woodbridge, again firing light beams down at a certain area in the base. So he is probably one of the highest ranking officers to report a UFO whilst on duty. It's an absolutely fascinating case. In a sense, I think the case is bigger and better than Roswell. I know that's a big statement to make. The reason I make that statement is because, unlike Roswell, where most of the witnesses are dead, with this case, most, if not all, are still alive. So there are new twists and turns with this case all the time, even though we're 26, 27 years on.
Wow. So now, when this came down the second time, was it the same craft? Did it still have the same, or was it able to be seen with those symbols and stuff or not? Or do you know?
No. They didn't see it quite as close this
okay.
time, and it didn't land, so they weren't able to verify that it was the same craft. But clearly, the fact that it was the same, virtually the same location, and so close, they made that assumption. Even if that assumption's not correct, it's an interesting sighting, of course, in its own right.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
And as I say, unlike many UFO stories doing the rounds, it's not a question of, oh, well, take my word for it. You can, as I say, go to mod.uk, type in Rendlesham, and you'll see the entire case file, including the assessment by the defense intelligence staff of the radiation readings.
I think that's just cool.
And the case file runs to over 100 pages of documentation.
Wow.
Now, most of that, to be fair, is letters from members of the public. But at the beginning, you'll see some policy papers about radar, about the radiation readings, and things like that.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to go check that out. I'm going to post that, too, on the website, too, when we post your show. That'd be great. Awesome. All right, so explain to the audience out there about what Russians and black technology is.
Well, that's probably an area where I can't say too much.
Because okay.
Because even though I've left the MOD, of course, I'm still bound by the Official Secrets Act. That I signed that on my first day, and it sticks with me till the day I die, I'm afraid.
And that's all right.
But essentially, what I had said was that, and this is something that skeptics often suggest, they say, well, maybe a lot of these UFOs are just spy planes, black projects, secret prototype military aircraft, unmanned aerial vehicles, and such like. And my response to that was, we tend to have a better idea than people might think about what's out there that belongs to other people, and we certainly know, of course, what we've got ourselves. And we certainly don't fly those sorts of things in areas where they're likely to get seen by people. So actually, my point about prototype aircraft and black projects is it's not quite the solution of the UFO mystery that some skeptics sometimes think it is.
And really, that just makes total logical sense. It's like, you know, yes, it does. I mean, and if you really thought about it, just like in the Rendlesham one, where the person that got up so close to that craft where he could, you know, feel it and see the symbols, the hieroglyphic symbols, there wouldn't be something that would be in this day and age, something that most countries would put on a craft if it was really, you know, black technology or stealth technology or spy technology or prototype or whatever. That just wouldn't be something that you would do.
No, it wouldn't. I'm convinced that this thing, whatever it wasn't Russian.
No. Well, do you have another story that you'd like to tell us that's really fascinating? Like the Rendlesham one is very fascinating.
Yes, there was another case. Now, I reopened the investigation into Rendlesham, but of course it had occurred years before I joined the department. But a case that happened right in the middle of my tour of duty is known as the Cosford incident. That's COSFORD. Again, the whole case file, over 100 pages, again, of documentation. It's on the MOD website, so you can just type in Cosford into the search box, and you can read the case file for yourself. It's absolutely fascinating. This was a wave of sightings from March 1993. Over 60 witnesses that we knew of, and hundreds more who never made an official report. Many of those people were police officers, military personnel. The highlight of the entire evening, and the sightings took place over a number of different locations in the United Kingdom over a period of about 6 hours. The highlight was, again, the direct overflight of two different military bases, Cosford and Shawbury. The object was seen by some Air Force police officers at Cosford and by the meteorological officer at RAF Shawbury. And he said that this was a massive triangular or diamond-shaped craft, somewhere in size, he estimated, between a C-130 Hercules and a Boeing 747.
Wow.
He said it moved quite slowly to start with. It was emitting a low-frequency humming sound, quite unpleasant, that you could feel as well as hear. He said it was firing a narrow beam of light down at the ground. Again, that happened in the Rendlesham case, so that's quite interesting. He said suddenly the craft, from moving very, very slowly, no more than 30 or 40 kilometers an hour, something like that, it shot away to the horizon, he said, in an instant. And I asked him to try and clarify that remark, and he said, well, look, I'm an Air Force officer. I see military jets and helicopters on a daily basis. This was many, many times faster than our jet aircraft.
Okay, so, wow.
So that was fascinating. The case file ends up with a briefing from my head of division, who was actually very skeptical before this on the UFO issue, to the assistant chief of the air staff, one of the UK's most senior Air Force officers. And there's a wonderful quote towards the end of the document, and it just says, I'm afraid, sorry, I haven't got it in front of me, but you can find it yourself on the MOD website. It says, words to the effect of, in summary, there seems to be some evidence that on this night, an object or objects of unknown origin was operating over the UK. Now, that's almost as strong a statement on UFOs as you will ever find in the Ministry of Defence archives in decades of UFO research.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome.
And it's just an amazing case. I mean, there have already been two full-length television documentaries on it, but it's only fairly recently come to the public attention. It's not as well-known a case as Rendlesham Forest. It's certainly not as well-known, of course, as Roswell. But I think this case is going to lead to, you know, renewed interest in this phenomenon. And I think there are going to be quite a few people looking at this. There was a full-length documentary in the UK. There's been another one in Germany. It's absolutely fascinating. It was possibly the case that changed my mind more than any other single event that occurred on my tour of duty.
Well, and the two things that I noticed is the commonality between the Rendlesham and the Cosford incident is the lights on the ground. As if, you know, and it makes you wonder, is it illuminating the ground to look for something, or, you know, what was it? That's just an unanswered question, and nobody has the answer.
Exactly, and I'll give you the honest answer, and the honest answer was, we simply don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's one other interesting thing about this case. It's the date. Late on the 30th and in the early hours of the 31st of March, 1993, by a bizarre coincidence, and in the MOD we were taught never to believe in coincidences, one of the other most famous cases in the world took place in Belgium in 1990, where a UFO was picked up on radar, where the Belgian Air Force scrambled two F-16 fighter interceptors. The date, 30th and 31st of March, 1990. So 3 years on, very, very similar UFO seemed to return to another European country. And, you know, things like that really do make you think.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what's with the date. I mean, you know, to the exact date.
I had a very light-hearted thought about it, but on reflection, maybe it wasn't. I thought that these events took place very late on the 30th. So the newspapers, of course, had already gone to press. If any of the newspapers or news media had picked up this story, the story really wouldn't have run until the 1st of April. And that's, as we say, April Fool's Day, All Fool's Day.
Uh-huh.
So perhaps it's the one day that you can operate something very low and slow over the countryside in countries that have this concept of April Fool's Day and get away with it, because people will see these stories in the papers and will think it's a joke.
Yeah, and automatically think it's a hoax or an April Fool's joke. Yeah. Well,
so
it's interesting.
That was my theory. That's the best I can do. It might be a little off base, but who knows?
Well, it sounds just as plausible as anything else. I mean, really, when you think about it. Well, we have time for a couple other things. I'm not sure if you have another story or if you wanted to talk about the quantum physics of it or the psychology of all this, or just kind of where you might want to take the next step here, Nick.
Well, what I thought I would do, as we've talked quite a bit about the Ministry of Defense website, is actually for me to say that the Ministry of Defense is now doing what the French government did earlier this year. We are in the process of disclosure. Now, under the Freedom of Information Act that we have in the United Kingdom, the Ministry of Defense gets more FOI requests relating to UFOs than on any other subject, including the war in Iraq or the war in Afghanistan. It's an absolutely phenomenal statistic, but it's true. Many, many files on UFOs are already available at our national archives. Many more files and documents are scanned onto the MOD website, mod.uk. More is on the way. And this is a big story here in the UK at the moment. We really are, the Ministry of Defence really is, in the process of saying, look, we're getting so many requests on this subject. It's taking so much time and effort to deal with them on a sort of ad hoc basis. Wouldn't it be better to do what the French did earlier this year and just release the whole lot so that all future FOI requests, we can just say, yep, it's been released. All the material is either at the National Archives or on the website. Discussions about whether to do that and how best to do it are taking place now. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a long job because, of course, personal details of witnesses have to be blacked out. Anything genuinely classified, such as the capability of our military radar systems, has to be blacked out. But this is really the big UFO story in the UK at the moment.
Well, I can't wait. I'm going to have to go and check that out. We'll have to get an update. Now, before we run out of time here, we're going to give everyone your website. But if you will briefly just tell us about the other four books and then go ahead and give your web address so that people can go and check out Nick.
Okay. Well, my website is just nickpope.net. All my biographical details, some articles, details of my books can be found on there. I've written four books: Open Skies, Closed Minds about UFOs, The Uninvited about alien abductions, and Operation Thunderchild and Operation Lightning Strike are two science fiction novels that blend what I know about UFOs with other things that I've learned in the MOD. But nickpope.net is where to go for details of all that. And the DVD that I've released is called Nick Pope, The Man Who Left the Mod. You can find it, obviously, on Amazon and other similar sites, or you can find it on the site of Reality Entertainment, who actually made it. And that's reality-entertainment.com. As I say, Nick Pope, The Man Who Left.
Vitamin O, what is it? Oxygen. It's one of the most vital elements of life, and some researchers believe that the lack of oxygen may be a major cause of disease. Now, this special supplemental oxygen is in liquid form, helping you to breathe easier, boost immune system, and feel great with more energy. And those taking vitamin O showed a 17 to 32% increase in arterial blood oxygen. So get yours now. Log on to perfectlyorganic.net. That's perfectlyorganic.net.
A psychic that you can believe in, trust in, someone who will listen to you, find out your needs, then provide you with real answers, useful information that can actually make a difference. Rebecca Jernigan. Call and schedule your private consultation from a truly gifted psychic and clairvoyant, Rebecca Jernigan. Call 888-958-2768. That's 888-958-2768. Or find out more at www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
You know.
Hi, Bars Dick.
Oh, hi, Dick.
Okay, I talked to every advertiser in America and the U.S. territories.
Good.
Even Micronesia and the state of Yap.
Good, Yap.
Everyone's ready to start advertising again.
Great.
They now realize that consumers are ready to spend. I'm talking every single advertiser.
Yeah, except Debbie.
I thought you told me Debbie was in.
No, this is a different Debbie.
What's this Debbie's problem?
Well, she said the agency's new creative doesn't speak to her.
What's the product?
Dog food.
Does she have a dog?
No.
Does she eat dog food?
No.
Then she's not the consumer.
No, but she's really ticked off of their spokes dog.
Oh, a prima donna, huh?
Prima dog. This dog wants his own trailer, masseuse, use of the company jet.
Company jet?
Wait a minute. I know how we can get Debbie on board, Dick.
How, Bars?
Get rid of the dog and get a new spokes creature.
I played a chicken once.
He played a chicken once. He played a chicken one.
It's called advertising, and it works. Your competitors know this. Why don't you? This message brought to you by this station, Adweek Magazine, the Radio Advertising Bureau, and the famous Radio Ranch.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
All right, we're back for the next segment here of Journeys with Rebecca. I just returned, literally, from the Queen Mary and was doing editing of this week's show, which wasn't that a great show. I just loved it. But what I have to do is I'd like to share some of my personal experiences that I had there on the Queen Mary. You know, there was just so much activity going on from the time I stepped onto the ship until I left it. It was just a fantastic trip. But, you know, I went there, you guys. I went there without any forethought of what I was going to find. There is so much information that people shared with me, and I'm one of those that I'm not a skeptic, but I just kind of hold off on what everyone says, and I just kind of take it with a grain of salt because I have to experience it for myself. So as I was standing there, and I had been checked in, and I was waiting for some people I was going to meet in the lobby. I'd already checked into my room. I came back, and I was standing in the lobby there. There was I was just kind of assaulted. That sounds like a negative term, but it wasn't. But I was assaulted with some different visions that I kind of wanted to share with you. It kind of gives you the whole magnanimous proportions of the history of this ship. So as I'm standing there, and I'm really not thinking of anything, I'm just waiting for these people to show up, all of a sudden the vision appears before me, and I'm looking down the hallway, and here's three ladies walking down the hallway. Now, their clothing denoted to me that they were probably from the late 40s, could be even early 50s, and one of the ladies turned around, and she looked at me, and she smiled. Now, these three women were all walking side by side down this hallway. And as she turned around and looked at me, I looked at her, and the energy signature told me that she wasn't truly a ghost. In other words, she hadn't been deceased on the ship, so she didn't pass there. She certainly wasn't alive yet because she was kind of a young woman, but she turned around and looked at me, and she smiled, and I, you know, mentally smiled back, and she introduced herself as either Katie or Sarah O'Brien. And I just nodded my head back to her in acknowledgement and, you know, a mental smile back to her, very sweet lady, and they just kind of disappeared. They kind of just faded out of the scenery. And I thought, well, now that was kind of cool. So I'm looking around, still waiting for my people, again, not really thinking much of anything. And then all of a sudden I hear lots and lots and lots of men. and I can hear the sounds of boots, and I can hear the sounds of clanking metal. And as I looked around, my whole sensation was that the ship was now filled with all the troops when it was a troop ship. So that was just kind of an awesome experience. I didn't pick up on anyone specifically in that moment as far as those troops. It was just the whole, it was like the whole time frame of when it was a troop ship. It was all those noises kind of culminated into that moment. So it was kind of interesting. It was kind of interesting, really. So, you know, those were just some of the things that that I got. And that was just in, you know, like within the first hour I was there. I guess I would like to say, too, is that when I came upon the ship, it is way beyond larger than what I had really anticipated. And one of the things that I found out was that it actually was a larger ship than the Titanic, if you can believe that. So this is a very, very enormous ship. And if you've never been on one, it can be quite confusing. And I kind of found myself wandering the next day down the hallways. This would have been Saturday, and I was wandering down the hallways in the morning hour. There's lots of activity going on, and it's on a more subtle energy. You know, it's got decades and decades and decades of activity, and all of those energies were very much present there. There was all kinds of conversations, laughter, there was arguments. There was different people that would show themselves and not, and then they would just disappear. So the energy there was a little bit overwhelming because there was so much diversity in such a concentrated area. So as you all know, I did a live show there on Saturday, last Saturday night. It was a 2-hour special of Journeys with Rebecca. And we did have some technical difficulties. There was music playing on the ship in another area. But because the ship is all metal, it just absolutely reverberated throughout. So the last hour of the show, technically speaking, as far as audio, just wasn't the best. And it had nothing to do with my studio or the equipment here. It was just the absolute loud noise that was coming from the music. A little unorganized, but it was still a really great time. And while I'm talking about that, I do want to give my thanks to Dustin. Dustin kind of, if you will, babysat me in a sense that he took care of me, made sure that I had a place. He made sure that all the equipment, everything that I needed was there. And also to Ron Kilgore for his absolute help in setting up the audio from his end. So that I could actually communicate with my studio here in Kansas City and to bring the interviews of the people that I had. And speaking of interviews, I interviewed Erica, who is the lady that does the tours there in the Queen Mary. She has a fascinating story to tell of how she got started and some of the things that she's brought, very interesting that she's brought to the Queen Mary, all involved with the paranormal. So that was really cool. Also would like to say thank you to all of the staff there on the Queen Mary. They really do treat you right. They check you in. They're very clear. They're very concise. If you need anything, everyone is very helpful in doing that. So we had a really wonderful time there, and I have to tell them thank you for that. But now here's the cool part. The cool part is that once all of this was over and I was done with the broadcast of the live show, I was given a personal and private tour of the Queen Mary. We have pictures that we're going to be putting up on the website probably within the hour. There's going to be captions underneath them. So definitely check out the website, journeyswithrebecca.com, for all those pictures, all those captions. And, of course, if you miss the show, go to the archives at jwrradio.com so you can hear the whole entire 2 hours of the show. And, of course, need I say thanks to George Norrie because he wasn't able to show up, so I kind of took his place this year at the Queen Mary. My understanding is he will be back next spring when they do Ghost Fest 3, and hopefully I'll be able to attend at the same time. And next week I'm going to be bringing you some emails that we didn't get to, as well as some clarification on emails on next week's pre-recorded show. So again, you don't want to miss it. It was a fabulous time. You guys are the best. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Journeys is always looking for informed, entertaining, and passionate guests. Email your guest suggestion to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Find out more about a show topic or guest. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Prepare yourself for a journey of discovery and the answers that you've been looking for. With the Universal Learning Series, a set of principles for discovering your true self. Explore your past, your present, and your future. Read Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series by author Sandy Andrew. Go to universallearningseries.com.
Are you looking for a low-cost way to drink the purest water possible? We know that many of you are concerned about the purity of the water you drink, and having a good source of pure water is vitally important. We've discovered a new gravity water filtration system, the R Garden Pure Water System. Now, here are some of the features that make this product unique. Multi-layers of filtration, a ceramic pre-filter, activated carbon filter, a mineral bead layer, as well as natural conditioning through mineral stones, and the final stage, magnetic restructuring. An excellent water system at a great price. This remarkable water purifier is all you'll ever need to produce great tasting water free of harmful contaminants, all 100% risk-free. Experience the pleasure of great tasting water or your water system today. www.perfectlyorganic.net. That's perfectlyorganic.net.
A psychic that you can believe in, trust in, someone who will listen to you, find out your needs, then provide you with real answers, useful information that can actually make a difference. Rebecca Jernigan. Call and schedule your private consultation from a truly gifted psychic and clairvoyant, Rebecca Jernigan. Call 888-958-2768. That's 888-958-2768. Or find out more at www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Close your eyes and imagine you're beside a pure mountain stream, the water cascading over the stones. A paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. Because the Nature Conservancy works locally with people like you to save precious places around the world forever. That way, closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. Nature.org.
Talk with an intuitive touch. Journeys with Rebecca.
All right. What a great show. I want to thanks to my special guest, Nick Pope. And that website again is www.nickpope.net. And of course, you can reach that from my website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. And of course, a big thank you to the sponsors of Journeys, Fate Magazine, FateMag.com, PerfectlyOrganic.net, the best supplements ever, and Sandy Andrew, UniversalLearningSeries.com. And to all of the affiliates that you'll find their banner links on the website. And you can show your support for Journeys with Rebecca by supporting our sponsors and affiliates. Now, some latest news and events, of course, under the Journeys News section. October 30th, I will be at the Learning Annex on the Paranormal 411 panel. So click on the link for more information to this cool event. And of course, if you can join me there along with the other members of this Q&A panel, that would be just great. And some of the upcoming guests, a man that really needs no introduction is David Icke's going to be here, and Brad Steiger with his latest book, Shadow World. And again, be sure to check out the website for dates and times for all the great guests heard right here on Journeys with Rebecca. You know, each week I do two new shows, so be sure to check out the live show on Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Central Time. Please join me this Saturday if you can. And also, if you have a question, please email me. That's mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. I will answer your email questions or address your comments right on the show. So, until we meet again, where will your life's journey lead you? Many blessings and good night.